Well, I'm not sure if more action is the correct word or not, but I don't know what's beyond fluid. Like I said, Oshkosh is supposed to be flexible, and we've gone to fluid, and I don't know, I'm in probably a gaseous state at this point. for the first time ever, two no-show guests have taken leave of me. I did shower this morning, so I'm not sure exactly what's happened. But Steve McCaughey is a pretty solid guest, so I think he'll be on in the final segment. But anyway, we'll talk back and forth from the studio, and Tom is still there along with Digital Dave and Slider. Digital Dave, Dave Luter, who Tom mentioned has been with the station since the beginning, and Slider, his son Michael, has also been with us for a very, very long time. It's one of those I knew him when he was this tall, and now he's taller than I am. But he is into drones, as I understand. So good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Slider, how you been doing?
Not bad. How about yourself?
I can't complain. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with drones.
Well... A lot of it is flying at the hobbyist level. Just recently got into the Part 107 certification. Learned a ton of stuff about what you need to do with waivers and what it takes to get certain waivers, what it takes to do certain jobs. Learned a lot about the newer equipment, the more industry standard equipment, as opposed to the, like, I just want to go out and take nice 4K pictures equipment. So the plan is to move on forward in flying for either industry and or insurance purposes. Just take pictures, have fun with it, you know, whatever you can get.
And he annoys the neighbors with the racing drone.
Very much so.
A racing drone?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
Standard, it's a 5-inch quad, so each of the four propellers are 5 inches, so you get about an 11-inch square little thing, and you fly it solely from FPV, which means it has a tiny, tiny, tiny little TV transmitter. Transmits an analog, and you put on a pair of glasses and you literally fly it as if you were flying a regular airplane from the cockpit of the drone, if you will. Wow. And it's pretty quick. It's good for about 100.
Let's clarify his type of flying. You talk about aerobatic aircraft with a 300, 400 degree roll rate, correct?
Right.
His rolls at over 1,000 degrees a second, or a minute, or some crazy.
It's
if you wear FPV goggles and he's flying, you're going to lose your lunch.
Wow. So where do you, are you competing in any races?
I am not, but strangely enough, we did have a multi-GP pilot here flying for us yesterday, and I do think he's actually flying again today at 1 p.m. In the drone cage.
And he was invited to fly with them.
I was invited, yeah. No, I don't think I can stack up to a guy who truly races all the time. There's a big difference between flying for, you know, flying around trees and through things and under things, and then flying at maximum throttle, maximum speed through a 4-foot-wide gate.
I've actually seen the trees in our yard drop their leaves as soon as they see him come outside. They live in fear.
Tell us about, are there racing leagues that are out there, and what's the course actually like?
Yeah, so the big sanctioning head is Multi-GP. They have global leaderboards where if you sign on to their program and start flying, even if it's a smaller non-grand race, you know, you'll get points assigned to you, and you can check those online and things like that. As far as the courses go, that's where it gets wild. I mean, there's stuff out there from people flying in parking garages where your altitude's huge. It has to be, you'll hit the ceiling if you go above 5-6 feet or 7 feet. Most of the time, you're shooting to shoot through 4-foot by 4-foot gates. I mean, some of the different sanctioning heads have different sizes, and it also depends on the class that you're flying in. There is smaller than 5-inch classes. 5 inches is about the standard, though. There's different types of gates, so sometimes you have to go through just a standard gate. It's, you know, a little bow shape half moon that sticks into the ground, and sometimes you have to fly through one. You can either go through it one way and you have to reverse come back around. Some of them you have to loop over the top. There's drop gates where it's like a square that's raised about 6 feet off the ground, and you have to actually come in above it, drop down, arrest the descent, and then leave it in a certain direction, one of the four corners of it.
And you have to remember that these things will accelerate to almost 100 mile an hour in about 2 or 3 seconds.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So it's a very fast sport.
We're talking with EA Radio's Digital Dave and Slider, talking a little bit about drones. You looking forward to what's coming next? What do you think is on the horizon for drones, especially in your type of flying?
Oh man, I mean, there's a ton as the industry looks more towards, you know, standardization, especially with what the FAA is doing, and gives us more leeway or better definitions of the rules they wish to impose. It'll get a little easier to do the kind of work, and as companies and you know, as companies decide that drones are a worthwhile investment, the people who have spent that time to set up the thing, set up their companies, get the insurance, get the waivers, they're going to have an awesome opportunity to start flying for some really incredible things. I mean, it's a lot safer than putting a guy up in a tower or flying a guy up next to a power line in a helicopter. I mean, sure. You know, if it zaps the drone, okay, that's fine. But, you know, if it zaps a helicopter with a guy sitting on it, it's a whole different thing.
The previous segment, we were talking with U.S. Geological Survey, and the guy was saying that in the forest fire fighting business, they had 10-day period out west where the only imaging they could get was from drones. All the other aircraft were grounded due to smoke. The other flying that amazed me is they've been flying them through the plume of the volcano out there in Hawaii. That's right. Not something I'd even want to think about with a manned aircraft.
And again, you're talking about the mitigation of risk. My nephew was flying commercially drones, and he had a project inspecting power poles in northern Wisconsin, and it's the same thing. You could send someone up the pole to look at everything, or from the ground, send the drone up, take high-definition pictures, come back down, do the next one. It's really interesting technology.
As you look around, the applications are boundless. It's amazing how many people are trying to use drones to do all sorts of crazy things.
And some of the technology that he's working with, too, they can actually, from special software and the photos that they take with the drones, can actually estimate how much dirt has to be excavated for a building. And where, you know, then you can plan for where you're going to put it and how you're going to move it and
wow.
Things like that. So, you know, as you say, the applications are almost limitless. And amazingly, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, we were barely talking about drones, and even here at Oshkosh, to get drones even on site, and now the popularity of the Innovations Plaza and the drone cage has just been an amazing amazing explosion.
I saw something where there's a company out there that'll use drones to actually simulate fireworks. So in places where you have too much fire danger, I guess, or whatever, and you still want a fireworks show, that's the next best bet.
You mean like Great Lakes Drone Company?
Yeah. Do they do fireworks?
No, but they do drones.
There you go. And sometimes your drones have fireworks when they don't work right.
That's true. And we'd know more about the Great Lakes Drone Company if we would have talked to them, right?
Yes, we would.
They did put on the drone show Thursday night when we repeated the night air show from Wednesday, and that was interesting. No one was really sure what we were going to see. Did you gentlemen have a chance to see it?
I did not, unfortunately.
Neither did I.
I'm hoping they're going to fly again tonight.
They are scheduled to fly again tonight.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I did. It was great. It was very cool.
Some of the folks that I've talked to here on the grounds have said that was interesting, but I can't wait to see what it does in the next few years.
Right.
Agreed.
I could see what they were doing, and I think what we've seen on TV at the Olympics and Super Bowl and things, highly choreographed drone presentations with the lights that were probably not done as live as we were led to believe, because even with the presentation on Thursday night, there were, I believe, 6 drones that lost their GPS lock and came back down to the ground. So if you saw a drone go straight up and hover for a second and then go straight down, it had lost its connection, and as drones are programmed to do, it went home.
Right. What surprises me is the scope and range of the types of drones. There's a company now marketing or getting ready to market a drone that is a hybrid. It actually carries a gas-powered generator, and it can fly for 5.5 hours.
Wow.
Which I don't think a pilot can last that long.
No, that's well above the scope of an average pilot, but this is all into what the FAA is doing, because there's 5 hours. It's aimed at search and rescue, and that's all beyond visual line of sight flying. I mean, that's a giant gray area, but the technology seems to be advancing faster than the regulations can handle them.
Always the case.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Innovation, of course, drives the regulations as we push the boundaries, as we've done, as EIA did with experimental aircraft back in the 50s and 60s, and really got the experimental movement going, and the regulations loosened up so that you could fly your experimental airplane to places like Oshkosh and around the country.
And I think the drone industry recognizes the sensitivity of sharing the airspace with GA. And I think any responsible drone pilot takes that very seriously.
Definitely.
I mean, if I thought I was there was going to be a conflict, I would sacrifice the drone. Yes. Not a problem.
Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this segment on the show. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Steve McCaughey from the Seaplane Pilots Association. So stick around, and you'll see a different face on the screen when we come back from the stand on EIA Radio.